you.
Right.
Hey.
We're all ready then.
We're all ready. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to be back with you. Whoa. Hold that. Have another cough. So good to be back with you all, because I'd much rather have this weather than 30 degrees sunshine, of course. But it is lovely to be back. So first and foremost, we've come to worship Jesus. And our theme this morning, what is required of us? So let's pray. We'll begin our time together in worship. Lord Jesus, it is good to be back with family and friends. And Lord, as always, we're so thankful to be in this place. And Lord, as we think about this theme this morning, what is required of us? Lord, we want to thank you for all that you've done in our lives. But Lord, we want to give back to you. We want to surrender our lives to you, so that every day is about you and not about us. Oh Lord, help us to walk that way with our eyes fixed on you and no one else. So Lord, we come here to worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. And we thank you for all that you've done in our lives. Amen. So, of course, we couldn't have this theme without singing, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live." And let's sing this as a prayer to Jesus as we give our lives afresh to him this morning.
I will ever love.
We're going to continue our worship with, I will worship with all of my heart. I will praise you with all of my strength. I will seek you all of my days. I will follow. I'll trust you alone.
Come to our Lord in prayer. And may we come to our Lord in believing prayer and remember that he loves to hear our prayers, and he always answers them. He answers them in accordance with his will, for he knows what is best for us. So let us pray. O God, we come this morning and we pray that more and more people will come to know the grace that comes only from you. We acknowledge that there are other uses of the word, but here our prayer is for more people to know what is meant by God's grace. To bring forgiveness and peace to a wicked world, God the Father sent his Son Jesus into this world. Jesus came to be the sacrifice for our sins, and by dying on the cross and then rising from the dead and returning to the Father. And we thank you, Lord, that your sacrifice made it possible for all to receive salvation. And we know that it was your gift to all who would come in repentance and faith. Yes, Lord, it is your gift to us. We cannot earn it, not by good works or anything else. For we know, Lord, it is by grace alone that we can be saved. This grace means unmerited favor. So, Lord, help us to share with those who do not know you personally what is needed to receive salvation. God's love is such that he paid the price, and it is by grace alone. We know that God wants us to love all people, the poor, the weak, the fragile, the homeless, the unemployed, the housebound, the lonely, the hungry, and to show this love by giving practical help wherever we find the need. Help us, Lord, to be compassionate and to share what we have in our lives. We pray for each other and for our own family and friends, and especially at this time, we pray for Stuart and for Jean. We pray for John. We pray for Helen. We pray for April. We pray for Deborah. We pray for Brian. And Lord, we know that as a great healer, you will be with those that we bring to you now. And we also bring, Lord, each other to you. We pray for Jilly. We pray for Richard. We pray for Rita. We pray for Sarah. We pray for Eunice and myself. We pray for Graham. We pray for Sarah Jane. Lord, you know us, and you know our families, and you know what we've been going through recently, and we know that you've been with us. We know that you love us, and we thank you for that. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be worthy members of your church here. And as the service goes out online, we pray for those who will hear this time of worship, and we pray that more people will come to know your saving grace. So, Lord, we pray that we might all know healing and your personal care and protection. And we bring these prayers to you, Lord, this morning, in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
Bruce, we forgot Bruce had a prayer. In prayer, we forgot that man sitting out there.
He was forgotten.
He didn't pray for Bruce.
What you're saying is you didn't pray for Bruce.
Lord, we thank you for Bruce, and we thank you for the way he prepares the services for us, and we ask you to be with him as well. We thank you, Lord, for your love to us all. And we pray that we may do things as a fellowship that please you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Right. We're going to sing, "I give you all the honour and praise that's due your name, for you are the King of glory, the Creator of all things." So we come now to worship him. Sing, "I give you all the honor."
My love.
now we come to our reading, and that is coming to us from Graham.
Right, our reading this morning is Luke 9, verses 57 to 62. As they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one will put a hand to the plough and look back is fit for service in the kingdom of God."
Thank you very much. Over to Ginny.
Thank you. So we're going to sing, "I Want to Walk with Jesus Christ All the Days I Live of This Life on Earth, to give to him complete control of body and of soul."
I want to walk with Jesus Christ all the days I live all this life on earth, to give to him complete control of body and of soul. Thank you.
So the message as Christians, what is required of us? And the first point I want to share with you, and you may have guessed this already by the songs, number one, to surrender our lives. That means, of course, to surrender our lives completely. Now, during these two points that I'm going to share with you, there's two words that come out which have more than one meaning. So I want to just share with you that the word reality, when it says there must be reality among us, it means we must be real. Real in all that we do, all that we say, all that we think. There's nothing. This is a great disappointment, can I put it this way? If what we do is not really real, not from the heart. And the other word, redemption. And redemption has lots of other meanings. But what do we mean here today when we mention in the message redemption? It means being redeemed completely from sin. And that is an urgent thing for all Christians. And it's the gift of God, isn't it, that we can be redeemed from sin, never held against us again. So there we are, just share those words because they will come up in the message. So, one, to surrender our lives. In other words, to become one with Jesus. So, and to become one with Jesus, we must be willing not only to give up sin, but also to surrender the whole way of looking at things. Being born again by the Spirit of God means that we must first be willing to let go before we can grasp anything else. To let go of the things that spoil our lives. The first thing we must surrender is all of our pretense or all of our deceit. The Lord knows what we're like. What our Lord wants us to present to Him is not our goodness, honesty, or our efforts to do better, but what He wants us to get rid of first and foremost is our sin. Actually, that is all He can take from us. And what He gives us in exchange for our sin is real, solid righteousness. And only He can give us that. But we must surrender all pretense that we are anything at all, and give up all our claims of even being worthy of God's consideration. Once we've done that, the Spirit of God will show us what we need to surrender next. Along each step of this process, we will have to give up our claims to be right to ourselves. Are we willing, I wonder, to surrender our grasp on all that we possess, our desires and everything else in our lives? Are we ready to give them up for the Lord? Are we ready to be identified with the death of Jesus? We will suffer a sharp, painful disillusionment before we fully surrender, because believe you me, it is not easy. When people really see themselves as the Lord sees them, it is not the terribly offensive sins of the flesh that shock them, but it's the awful nature of the pride of their or our hearts opposing Jesus himself. And you know, when people first see themselves in the light of the Lord, see us as the Lord sees us, the shame, the horror, and the desperate conviction hit home hard. We think we're good, but the Lord sees us as we truly are. And if we are faced with the question of whether or not to surrender and make a determination to go through the crisis of surrendering all that we have and all that we are to him, if we're willing to do that, then God will then equip us to do all that he requires of us. He needs us to be clean from the things that spoil our lives before he can use us in the way that he wants to. And so, the second point is what we've called obedience to the heavenly vision. Obedience to the heavenly vision. What does that mean? Well, if we lose the heavenly vision that God has given us, we alone are responsible. And we're responsible, of course, to God. We lose the vision because our own lack of spiritual growth. In other words, if we're not growing spiritually, we can lose the vision that God first gave us. If we do not apply our beliefs about God to the issues of everyday life, the vision God has given us will never, never be fulfilled. The only way to be obedient to the heavenly vision is to give our utmost for his highest, our best, if you like, for his glory. And this can be accomplished only when we decide to continually remember God's vision. But the acid test is obedience to the vision in the details of everyday life. You know, 60 seconds out of every minute and 60 minutes out of every hour. Not just during times of personal prayer or of public meetings, but for all of our lives. Yes, we need to know and remember what God's vision to us is. And the vision to fulfillment through our own efforts, but must live under its inspiration until that vision fulfills itself in our lives. You know, we try to be so practical that we often forget the vision. At the very beginning, we saw the vision, but did not possibly wait for it. We try to be so practical that we forget the vision. At the very beginning, we saw the vision, but we did not wait for it. See, if you get a vision from God, we need to wait for it. And we've got to be obedient to that vision. Now, what is the vision? What's happened? Well, my friends, we would not know God as we know him now. We would not know Father, Son, and Spirit as we know them now if we haven't had a vision from God. God makes himself known to us. God's love is given to us. We see grace in its greatness. Yeah. You know, we can rush off to do our practical work, and once the vision was fulfilled, we could no longer even see it sometimes. Waiting for a vision that tarries is the true test of faithfulness to God. In other words, if God has made himself known to us and the gift of salvation that he brings to us, then surely we must keep that vision in our minds at all time. Waiting for a vision that tarries is the true test of faithfulness to our God. It is at the risk of our own soul's welfare that we get caught up in practical, busy work, only to miss the fulfillment of the vision. You see, if we've had this personal vision given to us by God, if he has made himself known to us and how he loves us, and then how we can know him even more, then, my friends, we should keep that vision in our hearts at all times. And you know, that original vision is not the only one we get, is it? We get visions from God as we go through the Christian life. And you know, it's wonderful to think of the personal vision that we individually get through our Christian life. And it's all the same as the original vision, isn't it, really, given to us from the beginning. God makes himself known to us. He is the Redeemer. He is the God of glory. He is the one that can help us to be born again. Oh, how wonderful. But we've got to remember it always. You know, when we first come to know the Lord, when we first come to know Jesus and what he's done on the cross, we can feel so keen to get out there and tell people about him. But do we do it in our own strength? Do we forget that it's God's work we are doing? You know, whether God calls us to speak to people who do not know him, if God wants us to make him known by inviting people to a variety of events, the Lord uses his people in a variety of ways. They're all different. Some of you may have had a call to invite people into your home, and in that way you have an opportunity to share the love of Jesus. It may be that you want to take someone out on a visit somewhere, and that is another way of making Jesus known. There's a variety of ways, and it's amazing really, because the vision that Jesus gives us personally after the original vision, those visions, those calls, if you like, are very suitable for the person that he gives them to. In other words, if he thinks a person can preach, then all right, he will use that knowledge for the vision that he gives them. If a person is a teacher, again, he gives them the vision that would equip that. But you know, there are a lot of small things. Just being kind to people. Visitation. Visiting people in their homes. Oh, the quantity of things that we can do for Jesus. If we're shy, oh, there's lots of things we can do. So there should be no excuses. And there will be no excuses if we remember the vision that God first originally gave us. How did you first come to know Jesus? He spoke to you, didn't he? That vision was great, and we must never, ever forget it. And then the visions that come as God continues to use us, we need to be open to. Watch for the storms of God was something that one of the theologians said. He said, the only way God plants his saints is through the whirlwind of storms. It's not going to be easy. Will we be proven to be empty pots with no seeds, he says? Well, that will depend on whether or not we are actually living in the light of the original vision. We have seen the vision that we have seen. That's what it depends on. So let God send us through his storm, and don't go until he does. If we select our own spot to be planted, we will prove ourselves to be unproductive. So if you think that you've got a claim, a vision that you haven't received, then, well, it's not a vision from God, is it? So, however, if we allow God to plant us, if he plants the seed in us, we will bear much fruit. And it is essential that we live and walk in the light of God's vision for us. So I know, and perhaps even I was like it at first, you know, when God gives you that initial vision, and oh, it's wonderful, it's lovely, I'm going to serve him, I'm going to rush out and not waiting for God. You know, God has a purpose for each one of us, and we need to wait and make sure that when we are going out in God's name, well, it can only be God's name if we have accepted God's call. We need, my friends, yes, to be busy. I love being busy. But if we go in our own strength, we will fail. We need to use the vision that God first gave us. When he came and said, I love you. Wonderful. The Almighty God loves us as individuals, and he loves us as his people. People that he was responsible for our creation. But if we're really going to be his people, we must claim. No, we don't claim. We don't need to claim it. We must recognize that he has given us a vision. He has said, look, I want you to be my sons and daughters. I want you to be born again. But to do that, you must be willing to surrender all and to do what you receive from me. So do we obey God's vision? I truly hope so. God bless you. Amen.
Oh, this one. So following what Bruce has shared with us, we're going to sing Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Still.
Thank you, thank you.
Right.
Great to have you with us.
Let us stand as we say the grace. May the grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Hallelujah.